Hi, today we are with Mike Malik. How are you, Mike?
Great.
It's a sunny day for Seattle, right?
Yeah, it's very highly unusual for this part of the world.
Good. So let people know about your background. I know you're in information security. You've done a lot of work in Microsoft and outside of Microsoft. But give us a scoop about you.
Okay, my name is Makbul Malik, and I'm a security architect on the ACE team. What we do is we do security code reviews, we do threat modeling, design reviews, also infrastructure work I do for ACE services, and I'm also involved in writing tools. SQL Detect is one of the other tools that I've talked about. So I'm sort of all over the place. I do a lot of different things. My specialty is application security. Especially encryption is one of the area that I really like to talk about and I'm passionate about. And I've moved on to other areas as well because there's a lot of other areas that are dependent together. They work in together. And so, I've moved on to some of the infrastructure stuff, GPO policies, setting domain policy for different groups, and consulting services that are based around SPIDER and EHE. So I've done a lot of that as well.
So how from, application security and all that, you end up being now like a guru on server-like security, or that interest has grown in you? Has it been working on the field or just personal?
Yeah. I mean, as being part of information security, we're expected to know, new technologies when they come out, and we're expected to know their security implications and how to secure those technologies. So a lot of our customers, we have customers from all over IT, and they use a lot of different technologies, and Silverlight happens to be one of them. So, a lot of customers came to us and said, okay, we're using Silverlight, and we want to know what the good security practices are. How should we deploy Silverlight in a secure manner so that we protect ourselves from any potential threat vectors? So, we're expected to know that, and that's why we have to be on top of these technologies and make sure that we know them very well so that we can provide prescriptive guidance to our customers so that they can implement robust security controls within their applications.
So how mature is Silverlight right now out there as far as security goes?
Well, this is the second version of Silverlight is out. This is the first version, 1.0, and 2.0 actually has some major security features, designed around protecting our users. And so, there's a lot of security enhancements in the second version, and that is some of what I like to talk about in this video and get the message out there about it.
What were those like big improvements then from version 1 and version 2?
Okay. So, the Silverlight 2.0 introduces a new concept of ZAP files, and ZAP files are really just zip files in disguise. What the ZAP files contain is the manifest. It basically describes, what assemblies and files are going to be part of the application. And it's also, the manifest is an XML file. It has other information as well in there. And that's actually downloaded by the Silverlight runtime. When you go to an app that uses Silverlight, you will go to that page, you will download this manifest or download the assemblies, and that will actually run on your client's machine. And one of the recommendations that we give today is that we want to make sure that the ZAP files and also the assemblies that the ZAP file contains are digitally signed by a well-known CA, a reputable CA, so that our clients can be assured that this is actually coming from a trusted source that they trust. So if it's coming from, for example, from Microsoft, we want to provide them assurances that, this is indeed trusted code and that it's not coming from any other party. And so that by signing, we're giving them that assurance. And then it's up to the client whether they want to trust code that is written by Microsoft or any other party, for example. So. This is a step that the application team itself needs to take. So when they develop the code and when their code complete and they have done the testing and they're ready to deploy, they need to go to a reputable CA. So they can go to VeriSign or they can go to Microsoft CA. It could be an intermediary trust root authority or a trusted root authority. They can go to them and they say, okay, we want to sign this and get it signed. And once they get the signed version, that's a version they should deploy out.
Okay.
To the field, yeah.
Great. Any other features that you know have been enhanced than since version 1?
There's another feature which is very important. It's called Enable HTML Access. Okay. So this gives Silverlight app that's running in the Silverlight sandbox on the client side access to the HTML DOM, the document. So it basically can call into the to the page, into the web form. It can access the different variables, data, and do lots of manipulation. So that's a feature that controls that part of it. By default, if the Silverlight app and the web page are from the same origin, what we call the same origin policy, by default the Silverlight app will have access to the HTML DOM. Mm-hmm. So that's an important feature. But what we want to do is we want to be control third-party ZAP files. So if you're loading up a ZAP file that is coming from a third party, so it's coming from another domain, this feature can help you control whether that ZAP file can actually make calls into your HTML DOM. So, for example, if you were loading a ZAP file that was from another domain and it was a malicious ZAP file, then you would have an instant cross-site scripting attack because that ZAP file can right away call into your HTML DOM. It can actually go through the session variable. It can hijack your session. It can steal your data. It could deface your website. It pretty much has complete control over the web form. Okay. So with this feature, Enable HTML Access, you can say, no, I don't want third-party ZAP files to be able to call into my DOM, or I do want them to be able to call into my DOM. So you can control that part of it. And this you got to make this decision, and it's primarily based on trust. Do you trust that third-party domain to be able to do that? Sometimes you have third-party domains where where there's a certain company that runs that domain, but later on, maybe a squatter has been able to take over that domain, and that company didn't renew their renew that domain. So now you have another party that potentially can load ZAP files on your within your application, and now they can actually cross-site script you and do all sorts of bad things, deface you. So you have to be careful with that when you do certain.
So quick question then, is HTML, Enable HTML Access is something that is not there enabled by default? So by default, do you have an insecure app?
Yeah, but by default, you want to say no, and and then if you want to trust some third-party apps, then you would, explicitly come in and say that I want to enable this attribute so to be able to give access to it. This is what we call an HTML bridge, basically. This is a bridge between the Silverlight app that's running in a known sandbox environment with the web page itself.
Does that cover any features regarding external calls from other applications, or there's any other features in Silverlight that can help you control that?
So there's another feature. So what we would primarily be talking about is Silverlight's access to the web form or the HTML DOM. But now there's another feature which is called external callers from cross-domain. And what this controls is your HTML DOM or your web page to be able to make calls into Silverlight. So we're looking at the other way now. And so by default, again, the same origin policy applies that if the Silverlight application and the web page resides in the same domain, then the JavaScript, for example, in the web form will have access to call into the exposed DOM of the Silverlight application, and that's by default. And by default, if you have third-party ZAP files that are loaded into this web page, your JavaScript files will not be able to call that because that ZAP file actually originates from a different domain.
Okay.
And the default setting is no, so it's no access.
Okay.
And if you needed to enable this access, what you would do is you would set this feature, external callers from cross-domain, to script only, and that will enable your JavaScript to be able to call into the exposed DOM of a Silverlight application that's from a third party. And again, you want to enable this feature only if you need this, right? If that interaction is required, that functionality is required by your application, then and only then you should enable this, right? So we're trying to reduce the attack surface area of this application, of your application.
Exactly.
And you know this feature of being able to, your scriptables being able to call into a Silverlight application is not as risky as the other one we talked about, where the earlier one we talked about where the Silverlight application is accessing your web form, and that you know it does consider a little less. This feature itself is considered less riskier than the one that we discussed earlier.
So from the applications that you've assessed before and you like doing your security reviews, these have been like common issues that you've seen, like you know external access from applications on not signing their code. Do you have any stories or any anecdote that you've seen and like how people need to like enable their security knowledge on while doing their Silverlight apps?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing we've found is awareness of the security features that are built into Silverlight. So many of the times when we do assessments, we find that the teams are not actually aware of these security features. So you know they end up using the defaults, or they're setting them to settings that they shouldn't be setting them to, and you know they're primarily looking at towards the functionality. You know they have these hard dates and they want to get these things done, and security is thought of as an afterthought. You know after we design the application, we deploy, and we'll kind of think about security and we'll make sure it's secure. And that's not the way that it needs to work. It has to be baked into the SDL and baked into the application from day one when you're looking at the requirements. So, you know, to answer your question, yeah, we do find a lot of these issues today, and we worked with the teams. You know, sometimes we have the zap files that are not signed, or sometimes we have these other attributes that they have enabled when they're not using that functionality, and so you know we need to go back work with them and make sure that we make these security settings a little more stringent and more locked down, so that we cut off more of the attack surface area into this application.
Okay, so has it been common to find, like, you as a security expert, you find those gaps, but has there been known issues on the web from vulnerabilities or attacks done through Silverlight apps?
I would guess that there are. I mean, a lot of apps that we work with, have these vulnerabilities that are out there. The question of whether these have been exploited is sort of not answered, in my opinion, at this point. You know, they may have been exploited, but we may not know about it because a lot of these exploits, are kept secret. We don't want hackers to know that, okay, there's such an app that out there that has this vulnerability out there. So, this information is usually only released after the fix has been applied, and if there's a need to do that. So we don't really hear about that a lot today, except... You know, when the security experts are going through and doing assessments, and they find these vulnerabilities, work with the teams, and then make sure that we have a secure app that's going out the door. So
what do you think about the evolution of how a rich client experience on people's computer while they're using the web and how it enables, and I guess that's why Silverlight is so popular nowadays. How do you see it evolving in the future, and how do you think security is going to evolve, with it?
Okay. I think Silverlight has made major improvements from version 1 to version 2. A lot of these security enhancements that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
There's more work to be done as well, but this is a very important first step and a good first step. There's another feature that we're looking for maybe in the future version of it is when you open up a zap file, when you have a zap file and you open it up to domain A, for example, you open that zap file to any domain, right? And we need to be able to control where these zap files are executing and running. And at this point, we don't have that control. So that's probably another feature that we're looking for in the near future, to be able to be more restricted with these zap files and where they're able to execute. That's one important feature. There's other things as well that we, as we work through this technology and if we find more vulnerabilities and we find more need, we will make those recommendations so that we can hopefully get them integrated into this technology.
Okay.
And, there's another feature that I sort of wanted to talk about, which is the cross-domain policy files. So if you have, you know, domain A and domain B, and domain A has zap files making calls into domain B, what domain B can do is restrict which from which domain these zap files can be called from. So domain B, what domain B can say is that, okay, you can make calls to me as long as this zap file was loaded from domain A, and that's the only case when those files can be made. So that way, domain B can restrict calls, the caller. Okay, you can only call me if you're from here. It's like being able to call from certain country or certain area, right? You can say, okay, you can only make calls to me if you are from this country, for example. Yeah. Just a given. So, you know, that's one feature that we have today in zap file, in using cross-domain policy files, and being able to restrict the caller. And that's an important feature. But the other way around, you know, if you look at the other way around, in terms of where the zap files are and where they execute, if you open up, again, as I discussed earlier, if you open them up to, say, domain A, you open it up to the whole world. You know, this zap file can be called from anywhere now. So, you know, we can load it in any domain now. So that's, I think, something that we need to work with, sort of like similar to ActiveX controls, where you can sort of restrict them with domain they're able to run in. I think we need a sort of a similar feature in zap files and Silverlight apps, so we can actually more tightly control where they execute.
So I think that's a lot of learning, but it seems that you were mentioning that you've got all that knowledge, you know, from different areas, but like security hasn't been packaged fully and ready to go, you know, for the regular user, right?
Yeah. I mean, so this is a fairly new technology, so
yeah.
You know, security is sort of lagging. You know, it usually is. People use the technology and think about security later. So, you know, we're catching up with that, and we are making those recommendations to make sure that, okay, if you're using this technology, so this is a security control you should have, and we should always consider that when we're using new technologies to say, okay, how are we protecting our customers and their data and the type of transactions they can do with them. So that's something that we should always consider.
And just before we close out, what have been some of the type of app, you know, has it been like enterprise solutions where you've seen people like using Silverlight, you know, to run their business? I mean, it's not only like cool graphics, right? Can you tell us a little bit of what have been some of the uses that people have put into like the Silverlight technology?
Yeah.
For their like daily work or?
I mean, it has a lot of broad applications. It's primarily used for graphics, you know, doing a lot of advanced graphics stuff, loading videos and doing a lot of graphical interactions on your web form. So, you know, it makes things, what it does, it makes things interesting. It brings the graphics, you know, of the web form. You know, in the back in traditional days, we were just ASCII and some images. Now we're able to have interactive images and do a lot of advanced, cool graphical features with it. So that's, you know, it brings life to the web to the web form now. And I think it takes it to the next level. You know, and we found a need with the basic HTML browsers. We find that, you know, we need to do more than what it offers today, and that's what Silverlight offers us today.
Great. I think that was great information, Mike. So hopefully you'll get to grow more in your security expertise on Silverlight and many more platforms. So I think that was great. I hope you enjoy the sunny weather, and and hopefully I'll see you in the future in another meeting.
Great. Thank you.